Good morning. The wonderful cross. It reminds me of a story about a little boy that was lost in a big city. And he goes up to this policeman, tells this policeman that he's lost. And the policeman got to questioning him and asking him, "Well, what's close to your house? What's around your house?" He says, "Well, across the street there's a building with a cross on top." And the little boy says, "Show me the cross, then I can find my way home." That's the way it is, folks, right? So, did you get your salubrious activity in this week? So even you're doing it now, huh? That's good. Yesterday morning, I met my running partner at the trail, and he kept reminding me, we've done 26 miles already this week, and I said let's get in 30 and let's make it a good week, And he goes, "Why don't we just go to Blob Evans?" I said, and then he started talking about these blueberry pancakes, and I started salivating, And so the next thing I know, we was on our way to Bob Evans. So I went to Bob. I didn't do my miles yesterday, but I got 26 in this week, right? So it's okay to do that, right? We don't have to beat ourselves up and condemn ourselves, right? We can. That's the second time we've done that in 2 years. Went to Blob Evans. So, let's see. What else have we been talking about? Oh, I took my granddaughter out to eat here a couple weeks ago. And the waitress looked at me, Karen. She goes, "Does your daughter like so-and-so?" I said, "Yeah, she does like so-and-so." I just left it alone. I didn't say, "Hey, I thought Zeta was going to bust it out and say, "I'm not your daughter." Usually she does, but she didn't. So we let her go. I didn't even... that's all right. I wasn't deceiving nobody, right? Shoot. Right? I'm never going to see this lady again. Why do I have to give her a big old explanation? "Oh, yeah, I'm her grandpa." I don't need to do all that, right? Do what? Yeah. That's right. And there's still fire in the furnace. That's right. I want you to know that. That's right. Oh, man. I got some fire up in here. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, John, you better stop. So what have we been talking about? We've been talking about principles, right? And principles are these keys we've been talking about. And the key here is stewardship, all right? What Jesus said in Matthew 16, he said, "I've given you the keys of the kingdom," right? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, right? So this bind means to lock. Loose means to open. So this idea of these keys is we can open doors that no man can shut, and we can close doors that no man can open. So these principles, these keys, give us the ability to operate at another level when we're putting them in motion and we're putting them in position. And so we've been looking at this principle of stewardship. And what's the word stewardship mean? It means what? It means the management and managing of another's affairs and finances. So in other words, stewardship is all about handling someone else's stuff and finances. Well, what's that mean? That means that everything we have is God's. And God has entrusted that with us and to us to steward it in a way that will advance His kingdom, right? And in the middle of that, you're going to be taken care of. So the idea is we need to know and get a different perspective. We need to have a paradigm shift. Because, folks, the number one problem is money. It's the big problem in our country. We're in an economic crisis. It's because they don't understand this principle. They don't understand this principle. And the number one problem in the church is money. We get more calls about people short of money and calling for money than anything. Divorce happens more often about money than anything else. Money's the biggest problem. So folks, if we get this understanding and we begin to operate in this, I'm going to tell you something. This removes all anxiety and all worry. If you're worried about money and you're always anxious about money and if you're going to make it, then you don't understand what we're talking about today. You don't understand stewardship. And if you're coming up short at the end of every month, you don't understand what we're talking about. Because he says if you put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. If you understand what the first, put the kingdom first, you're not going to come up short at the end of the month. You're going to be taken care of. That's just the way it is. And you're not going to have to worry about if you're going to be taken care of and look at this news and all the economic crisis, because there is no economic crisis in the kingdom of God. There is none. And so we need to grow in our understanding of stewardship. And as we do, folks, you're going to be in a position to help someone else and help take care of someone else. And you're going to be able to be a blessing and not a taker all the time. Am I making sense? Okay. Go with me to... No, wait. What did we talk about last week? Stewardship. And what did we say? Out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, says, he who is faithful in the least will be faithful in much, but he who is unjust in least will be unjust in much. Now, this is huge. He's talking about money there, right? Luke 16. In other words, if you don't get this idea of how to handle your money, and you're not faithful in the least, in other words, money is the least of the things of God and in the kingdom. It's the least. In other words, how do you think, if you don't understand the least, how do you think you're going to believe God for your family and for your children and for your financial well-being or for your healing? Or if you get cancer, how are you going to believe God for your cancer? Or are you saying if you give money, you'll get healed of cancer? No, I didn't say that. I said your faith will be in a position to bring what you need for the healing for cancer. If you don't understand this, nothing else can come your way. It's the least. Did you get that? I'm telling you, folks, this is something we got to understand. Because when we begin to understand how we handle money, it puts other things in motion. Now when we can believe God and begin to really, you're going to see things happen in your life that you never saw before because you're growing in your understanding on how to handle money. Because it's the least. I'm telling you what, this is what God is doing. God wants to show off and show out in this hour. And there are people falling short in this area all over the country. But God's going to use you to help someone. That's right. And he's going to let it flow through you, and you're going to be taken care. God will take better care of you accidentally than you ever could on purpose trying to do it yourself. That's right. That's exactly right. And that's just when you get this principle in motion, it starts to work, and you'll see it. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. I've had people come into my office and say, you know, I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God. Oh, I'm trusting God. And then they start to share with me, and I, well, where are you in your giving? And then they say, oh, well, you know, I just can't afford to give. I'm just, at the end of the month, I don't have enough, you know. Well, you know what they're saying? They're saying, after I take care of everything I want, then, I'll, you know, maybe I'll give something to God. You see that? That's backwards. You see, we got to put God first. First fruits, right? Now, don't get mad at me now. We got to understand this. And when you understand this, I'm telling you, you will see a major change physically. You know what? It takes stuff off of you. Burnt weight, you know, worrying about money all the time. All right. I'm getting stirred up on this. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. God wants to really show you something. And he's trying to get us all to understand this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Reconciled means he's brought you back into fellowship and relationship with God, right? Peace with God. Verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the what? Stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Father, we just praise you and thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for all that you're doing in the hearts of your people. We thank you for this place, Lord, to gather together this morning and receive your word and your truth. And Lord, just to worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, now we ask that you open our minds and hearts to receive revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Increase our understanding. You said, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Father, we don't want to be a part of those people. We want to grow in this area, and we don't want to be destroyed. We want to be all that you've called and created us to be. Father, we thank you for it, and we're going to trust you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Now, he says, of which I became a minister, verse 25, according to the stewardship. According means in harmony with the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. You know, a minister has been given the stewardship of God so that the people under his ministry can fulfill the word of God. And as you fulfill the word of God, you are becoming the real you. You are becoming the person that God created you for. You see that? As you fulfill the word of God, you are becoming the real you. It's no more trying to be something you're not, no more trying to please this person or that person. Now I am becoming me. You know, you're becoming who God created you to be. And that's what the Lord is looking for. He wants the real you to come out. And that's what he's trying to show you. And he does that through the ministry and fulfillment of his word. That's why our vision here is to build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's our vision here. And folks, when we get that vision working and you take that serious, it'll get you up in the morning. It'll move you. It'll move you when nothing else will move you. Because that's what vision does. Vision has power. And when you understand that, it's going to move you in the direction to fulfilling the word of God in your life. I'm here to tell you. Now, stewardship. This is huge. I can't begin to tell you how much this is helping me. And to really take stuff off. I mean, just worry and anxiousness and frees you up to be you and to make better decisions. Because, folks, listen, if you're always worried about money, something's wrong. You've yet to discover this principle. Now, go with me to Luke 16 again. And I'm going to share this parable with you. And this is a very difficult parable. It has to be revelation, and as it's revealed, it really begins to open up things and shows you truth about what Jesus is trying to communicate here. Now look at this. Luke 16 and verse 1. There was a certain rich man who had a steward. An accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So what do we got here? We got a wealthy man and a steward working for him. And now the steward was accused of, mismanaging this wealthy man's goods and actually stealing from him, one translation says. Now watch this. Verse 2. So he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give me account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." Now look what he says, verse 3. Then the steward said within himself, notice what he said within himself, right? So he's talking to himself, right? Am I right? Said within himself, "What shall I do? My master has taken the stewardship away from me." He's talking to himself. "I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg." Now, think about this. He says, "I cannot dig." In other words, he didn't want to work. To dig in those days was a job, and it was hard work. He didn't want to work. Wasn't that he could not dig. He just didn't want to. He was lazy. He was lazy. Now, think about this. His attitude towards money was a major problem. And that's what Jesus is really trying to show this man. So he said, "I cannot dig." And then he says, "I am ashamed." He said, "I am ashamed to beg." In other words, he saw himself, he thought, "Well, I'm going to lose my job, and now I'm going to be out there begging, and I don't want to work hard." So he was ashamed. It says he was ashamed to beg. He should have been more ashamed to take from his master, right? But see, he was lazy. He was like one of these types that want to buy lottery tickets all the time. Huh? lottery tickets are never God's way. Never. You ever get behind somebody buying them lottery tickets in the gas station? And you're in a hurry? And they're up there scratching and they're trying to buy this and that? Oh, man, you're thinking, man. Most of those people are in a poverty level income. You know why? Because they don't value money. People with something don't buy those things. Some of them do, but you know what I mean? Somebody that has something because they value money. They're not going to waste their money on something as silly as that is. Still love me? I'm telling you, that lottery stuff isn't God's way. It is never God's way. Never. And you know what? People that don't want to work, they're always looking for another way to make it. And they're always thinking about it. What can I do? Get more. They don't want to work. They just want to get more. How can they get more? Oh, I can do this. I can do that. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Always thinking. But they really never get any more. They just stay in the same place. Right? Because they don't understand this. Now look at this. Verse 4. He says, I have resolved what to do. Now you got to listen because you got to really get this. He says, I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me in their houses. Verse 5. So he called every one of his master's debtors. Now, granted, he has not been fired yet. All right, he hasn't been fired and let go yet. Now watch this. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? Verse 6, and he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Verse 7, then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. And when he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward. What? Did you hear that? So now his master is commending him. For what? Now look at this. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. That word shrewdly means wisely. He had dealt wisely, shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Verse 9. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Now, please listen. Look what he did when he was thinking about getting fired. He went to the people that worked for his master. And he still took from them. He told them, right, make your bill not 100, but reduce it down to 50. We're going to excuse half of it. It's not even his to do that with. Then he says, all right, now you just go ahead and take yours. I want you to make yours down to 8. Reduce it 20% and we'll just 80. Now, look at this. So his boss, his master, says to him, the unjust steward, because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd, more wise in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting home. Now hear this. His master saw that he was preparing for his future. That's why he called him shrewd and wise. Because listen, his master had the right idea about money. His master knew that money can be replaced. Money can be replaced. I'm impressed with this man. Because he is now preparing for his future, his everlasting home. Did you get that? Look at this. Verse 9, it says, when you fail, that word fail means die. Some of yours says die. In the Greek, the word fail translated means die. When you die, they may receive you into everlasting home. Now, hear what I'm saying. What's happened here is, Jesus is saying, when you will invest into other people's lives, okay? It's not to steal and to take from somebody to invest, but when you give into other people's lives, you're giving into your future. and you are making friends for the future. Do you remember that song, Thank You for Giving to the Lord? That's where this came from. In other words, when we get to heaven, we are going to keep meeting people that when you invested in the kingdom of God, you're going to meet people and see people who are going to tell you, thank you for investing in the kingdom of God. Orphans, because we support orphans here in India and also here in Ohio, an orphanage here in Ohio. Widows, the people that we invest in now, our monies, we are investing into the future. It has eternal value. Think about this. Money is the only thing that's tangible and that will corrupt and rot and waste away. But you can convert it. You can convert something tangible and corruptible into something intangible and uncorruptible and eternal. Money. Nothing else. What? Are you getting this? I'm going to tell you something, folks. Your number one reason for working and what God has entrusted you with as far as money is not to put clothes on your back and to put food in your mouth and to put shelter over your head. That's all about me. That's why Jesus said, don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you wear. Consider the lilies. Consider the birds. I remember I was in India and I seen all these starving people laying on the street and dying on the street. These little plump birds just flying all over the place. I mean, they're taken care of. You know why those people weren't? They didn't understand what we're talking about. And they're worshiping these other gods. Do you see this? I'm trying to show you something here, folks. When you begin to understand this area of stewardship, you're going to see your life is going to change because it's how you see this and how you handle money. Money is just a tool. That's all it is. It's a tool. Okay, you just say you're a gifted mechanic and very talented as a mechanic. And you have all these tools. Somebody breaks in and they steal all your tools. No big deal. I'll borrow some tools. I'll keep working. I'll keep using my gift and my talent. Eventually, all your tools are going to show back up and you're going to be good to go. Why? Because they couldn't take your talent and they couldn't take your gift away. Right? But they took your tool away. See, that's the way it is. Some of you have lost a lot of money in the stock market. Just a tool. And you're losing sleep over it. It's not worth it. It can be replaced. And you understand this principle? It will be replaced. And God wants to even bring you more. Because He wants to show you what He can do. And He's going to use you in this hour that we're living in to help other people to advance God's kingdom. Because it's not about you and your immediate needs. We got to get rid of that mentality. It's about God and others. God wants you in a position to help someone else. And I'm going to tell you something. When you operate in these principles, that's just what will happen. You will be in a position to help other people. Am I making sense? Now, isn't that something? We're just here for a short period. And when we get into eternity, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. There's heaven and there's hell. You know, some people think, well, it's just over. No, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. But if you're spending eternity in heaven, people are going to continue to come up to you and thank you forever for how you invested into the kingdom. Orphans that are now 1 and 2 years old, they're going to come in, they're going to show up and say, thank you for investing into my life. Am I making sense? Do you feel the weight of this? And why it's so important to get a proper perspective on what God is saying on how to handle our money? Because I'm telling you, folks, money is a major problem. And money can't buy you. There's certain things that money can't buy, right? I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. I had to move you a little bit. Y'all looking a little bit. But folks, listen. I'm telling you, when we get this understanding, it takes stuff off of you. It's like you wake up, you pay a bill off, and boy, you just start. Now I pay something off. It's like I'm gonna be able to, in a position to help somebody. You know, I love it at Christmas time. Somebody was behind me, and they had all these. I paid their bill for them. I'm not telling you that to brag, or I'm just saying that feels good. And they're just all, you know? And man, it's just like, it just blesses you to be able to do that. God wants you in a position to do that. You know, true prosperity is not having all these big houses and driving these cars and you know, Rolex watches and, you know, all that. You know, some people, that, you know, so I've seen some ministers try to use that as a hook, as something to bring you. You know what? That's not prosperity. True prosperity is how you can help other people and how what kind of position you are in to help other people. You're not going to need all them houses and all that. You'll be content with one house and whatever your cars you need. Am I making sense? Because if God gives it to you, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17, God gives you richly all things to enjoy. When he gives it to you, you'll enjoy it. But if you're sitting around worried about it and full of anxiety over it, God's not in it. See, God's not in it. I love this stuff. Because listen, folks, I am telling you, we are going to be a people that we're going to be notorious for giving. I want to be a giver, not a taker. I want to bring solutions to the problems, right? Not always taken, you know? That's what he was lazy and he took from what was really going on. You see this? This is huge. When we understand this, we'll never be the same. I am telling you. Go with me to Ephesians 4:28. When you give into the kingdom, you are going to see people born again. You're going to see marriages restored. You're going to see healing. You're going to see miracles. And you know what? They're eternal. And you're going to see orphans rescued from darkness. Because that's what the kingdom of God is all about. Why? You know what? When you really understand this, you want to make sure that you're giving. You understand what I'm saying? Because you know what? It's just putting you in a position for more to come and flow through you. That's not the reason you give. That's not the reason at all. But you really want to start helping people. And God is going to test you in this area. Y'all all right? This should revolutionize the way you view money. Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, the lamp of the body is the eye. And if the eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. That word eye means vision. If your vision is good, your whole body will be full of light. The word good means clear and single. If your vision is clear and single, your whole body will be full of light. You'll be walking in the light. You're not walking in darkness. Darkness is ignorant. You're walking in the light. If you just get a right perspective on this kingdom. Now, he's talking about money there. He's saying, I want you to have a single vision and a single perspective on the kingdom of God. When you get that, you're walking in the light. You're no longer walking in the darkness. And I'm just here to tell you. I know when I pay stuff off, man, what is it? It's just like, man, it feels good. It feels good. I can't explain it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like freedom. But debt, man, debt will just bring you down. You know what the word mortgage means? The word morgue, you know, that's taken from mortuary. It means death. Gage means grip. Mortgage means death grip. I did the etymology on that one. You see that? Nothing wrong with having a mortgage, and we're going to have them. But, you know, work at getting that thing done so we can be a blessing. Am I making sense? Huh? You know what? We mortgage our lives. Some people, you know what? The average person makes $500,000, more than $500,000 a year, or in their lifetime. Think about this. All right, come on. And you know what? A lot of people, they've never invested in eternity. Think about all that has flowed through their hands, and there's no eternal value. When God was giving them the chance to turn something tangible and corruptible into something intangible and incorruptible and eternal that will last forever. Nothing else has that kind of power. Nothing. In Deuteronomy 8:18, he says he gives power to get wealth. God gives power to get wealth. Now hear me. That word power means favor. Doesn't say he gives you money to get wealth. He gives you power, favor. I'd rather have God's favor on my life than all the money in the world. Are you listening to me? It's the favor of God. It's favor's grace, unmerited favor. And that's what, we're in the age of grace. When we get this, you're going to see things change in your life. I'm telling you, folks, it's the least. Are you getting this? Man, it's the least. Well, I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for that. Are you? Don't be deceiving yourself if you're not getting the least. Quiet in here. It says in, don't let me become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth. It says that in Galatians 4:16. Isn't this healthy? You know it's the truth. It is the truth. And folks, when we get a proper perspective and begin to handle our money this way, I'm telling you, it just adds life to you. It just adds life to you. I can't explain it. You have to operate in this to really catch this. And you know what? You start with giving. If you don't like where your financial status is today, and it's a result of what you did last year, give more. Give more this year. It's a kingdom principle. But you know what? Don't give it begrudgingly. Don't give it out of fear. God's going to curse me. No, don't do that. Because we're redeemed from the curse. Give it out of love. Out of your love for God. Out of your relationship with God. You see, that's what he's looking at. That's why he says this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Though I give my body to be burned and give all my goods to feed the poor, but have not love, I am nothing. Zero. You see, No matter, you can give everything, but if it's not done out of a heart relationship with God, zip. It has nothing on it. Oh, see, your best insurance plan and your best retirement plan is your relationship with God. I'm going to say that again. Your best relationship, or your best insurance plan and retirement plan is your relationship with God. And live out of that. And I'm going to tell you what, God is going to show you something and make a believer out of you. I'll tell you what, this church gives a lot. This church gives into this community. I mean, we're all, you know, we've filled up single women's propane tanks. You know, they can't get out and block. We're always giving. That can't happen if we don't understand this. We pay people's house payments when they get into it. They lose their job, whatever. We help them out. Now, don't everybody call up and say, "Hey, what are you doing, bro?" But I'm trying to show you something that keeps us in a position to keep the kingdom of God going. Are you with me? And none of us are exempt from that, but God wants to show you something. Am I making sense? This is huge, this perspective on the kingdom. Now, did you go with me to Ephesians 4:28? What time is it? All right. Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, and what is what? Good. Clear and single. That's what that word good means, translated from the Greek. It means clear and single. Let him labor for what is good, clear and single. In other words, your job that you go to, get a clear vision of why you're there. You're not there to work for your boss. You're not there just to put a roof over your heads. You're not there just to keep clothes on your back. You are there to advance God's kingdom. Get a good, clear vision. Over in Ephesians 2:10, it says that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Clear and single works, right? That's why you were created. Do you see this? That's why you were created. That's the whole reason you're on this planet. Folks, this life is going by fast. Eternity is where you're going to spend millions of years. Billions. Big old trillions. I mean, forever. Right? That's why it's so important that we start investing now. Don't you see this? You know this is right. Now look at this. Bless you. What is good? That he may have something to give him who has need. Well, what do you think about that? You know, let him who stole steal no more. You know what? Stealing is not doing your job. Not, you know, you just have a, you're lazy about it. You just, you know, you just go flipping and you're complaining and you know what? That's stealing. Go in there with a good attitude. You know what? This will take stuff off of you. Be thankful you've got a job, right? Go in there because God's going to position you to help somebody. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to put you in a position to help someone else. I'm going to tell you what. That's fulfilling. Boy, when it's all about you, man, that starts to stink. It does. And you can smell it when it's coming. Yeah. All right. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. First, wait. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And then we'll close in Matthew, and then we'll close all together. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 8. Now, in this chapter, chapters 8 and chapter 9, you can read them for yourselves later, he's talking about handling of finances, money. Now let's look at this. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, unmerited favor, abound toward you. Toward who? Toward you. That you, always having all sufficiency in what? All things. He said all things, didn't he? You're going to have all sufficiency in all things. Now watch this. And may have an abundance for every good work. For every good work. God is going to make sure you have an abundance for what? Every good work. There's that word good again, clear and single. Vision of the kingdom. God is going to make sure when you have that proper perspective that he is going to bring abundance to your life so you can continue the good work of advancing his kingdom. That's the way it works, folks. Are you getting this? I'm telling you, I have seen so many people in nursing homes and get up in their years, and they've never understood this. And they're always looking for somebody else to help them out. Constantly. You know what? That's not God's way. That's not God's way. You see, it works the same way with our exercising. You know, if we'll get some salubrious activity, we can extend our mobility considerable amount. It's the same way in your finances. You're not going to have to depend on somebody else when you understand what we're talking about. Am I making sense? Matthew 6, real quick. Verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. You know, we could say don't store up everything up in the stock market, right? Folks, a lot of us have lost a lot. Now, I'm right there with you. But you know what? I know that can be replaced. That's why I don't give a flip. How can you say I lost a good bit? Well, are you rich? No, I ain't saying I'm rich, but I'm just saying I lost a whole lot. I worked at a place 22 years and was putting in it, you know what I'm saying? I don't give a flip. You know what? I didn't lose one wink over that. You know why? Because I understand this principle. It can be replaced. It's just a tool. It's just a tool. And God wants to use you to take care of that business in your life as a steward. Look at this. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. You know what? There's no money in heaven. There's no money in heaven. What's he saying? Invest in people. Orphans. You know, I'm on this thing. Widows, people in need. When you invest in the kingdom, that's what we're doing. You know what? If you don't trust the leadership in this church or the vision, we need to go somewhere where we do. You hear what I'm saying? And I'm not being mean. I'm trying to show you something. If you don't If you're going to a place and you don't trust the leadership with the finances or the vision, get out of there. You hear what I'm saying? Don't go there. Folks, we are about the kingdom of God. And I don't need to get on a soapbox about that. Some of you know you've been helped up in here. And we're going to keep helping people. That's what it's all about. Now look at this. For where your treasure is, what? There your heart will be also. You see, God is looking at your heart. It's not about the amount that you give. It's out of your heart. He's looking at your heart. That's right. It's not about the amount. But he does work on a tithe. He expects a tithe, a 10%. He works in percentages. That's why if you have a man who makes $20 million a year, it's okay for him to have a big house and drive a big fancy car. Because the percentage that he's living on is taking care of him. And he's helping some folks. Right? If he is. But you understand what I'm saying. That's the way it works. I live in a $70,000 house that I built 20 years ago. It's 1,500 square feet. I'm just telling you. So what kind of house does he live in? You know what? I just don't have no desire for that. And you know, it's okay if you want a bigger house. It's all right. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. And God doesn't want you to live in a cardboard box. That's not going to give him any glory, right? He wants you to give him glory, right? He wants it to come through your life. Now, look at this. There's the lamp of the body. We already went over that. Verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon was the wealthiest man on the planet. Nobody has been as wealthy as Solomon. He's saying, not even Solomon is cared for as much as the lilies. Come on now. Look at this. Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. And he speaks of the Gentiles because they weren't in yet. And that means the world. The world, the people who are not believers. They're not in the kingdom yet. They're not born again. So that's what he's saying. This is what they worry about. They worry about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, where they're going to live, where they're going to stay. They're always worried about it. Now look, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all what? All what things? What you wear, what you eat, what you drink, all that's going to be taken care of. Like I said, God will accidentally take care of you better than you'll ever do on purpose. And that's really the way it is. And that's what happens when you operate in this area of stewardship. Are you hearing this today? We are out of time, but we're not out of word. Where's my music, folks? Okay. I got one brief word to share with you, and then we will close it up.